Yes, hello everyone and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer I'm bringing you all the news and interviews, everything to do with basketball in WA. So let's get straight into it this week. I am joined by Perth Wildcats General Manager of Basketball Operations, Danny Mills. Danny, welcome back to the Dribble Podcast.
Thanks, Craig. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, it's stinking hot outside today. It was stinking hot on the weekend, and we were hoping to have the roof open. There was the big test the night before, and they discovered that it could be open. It wasn't going to be hot at all inside the stadium. And then rain appeared on the radar. Could you believe that the one thing that was going to cost us on a 40-degree day was rain?
It's rain. Yeah, definitely disappointing. Obviously, it's a great spectacle and hopefully continues to be an annual game on our calendar. But it is what it is, right? You can't control the weather, and it's unfortunate. But the roof remained closed, and we still got the W. So that's the main thing in the end.
The rain arrived really late from a radar perspective. When did you know that it was in jeopardy?
Yeah, I mean, they were monitoring that all through Friday into Saturday, knowing there was a potential possibility. Obviously, really hot throughout that day and the day before, and really it was up until probably an hour before that you didn't really know, and that there was a possibility that, you know, it just wasn't a chance that the roof was going to be open. You just couldn't take the risk of leaving it open and then having a downpour and obviously not being able to close it in time.
And we did see the night before, on the Friday night, there were massive storms, electrical storms everywhere, and once that rain fell, it was starting to feel like, well, threat of thunderstorms might actually be genuine thunderstorms, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So yep. It's an interesting week this week for you guys with, in many aspects, but one is it's Pride round for the NBL. You had some issues earlier on in the year with controversy surrounding Corey Webster. So we'll talk about that before we get on to the positive basketball stuff. But before we actually say anything on it, I want to stress to everyone listening that when I interviewed Marina Whittle about this situation last year, we did mention it's so easy for us all to trip up on words and terminology. So both of us here are doing our best to make sure we say everything correctly. And if we say one word that's incorrect, don't hold us accountable for making a basic mistake when we're trying to do the right thing and discuss an important issue. So cut us some slack if we trip here. But so for a reminder, Corey Webster was issued with a suspended sentence for the in-season and a one-game suspension during the preseason for his offensive tweet about the flag. He's apologised, promised to complete an education course. Has that education course happened yet?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, Corey's completed that individual education course with a non-profit called Living Proud here, and completed that, and also was obviously involved with our team session that was staff and players, front office staff as well, that was conducted by Pride in Sport that the NBL brought here to Perth, and has gone through all of that under all of that education around this space and inclusivity and diversity and how important it is. Corey's someone that's going, just like everyone else on the team, is going to be wearing the Champions League Pride come on Friday night, as he did last year. And, it will be a big part of the night.
So that's really important. He'll be wearing it. Everyone else will be wearing it. There were some issues last year with around the league with questions over who would, who wouldn't. Obviously, it wasn't worn by some people. It's not compulsory. So the fact that he is wearing it is a significant step forward.
Yeah, it is. And as I mentioned, like he wore it proudly last year. And so, you know, there was no concerns there. And like I said, Corey's gone through this education since the incident in September. And, we're, supporting him as much as we can. And he's done everything that's been asked of him.
So from a personal perspective, I know some people, some families who are going through this at the moment. It certainly changed my perspective speaking to them about what their lives are like with kids who are, you know, teenagers or just entering their 20s. Do you think that he has changed his opinion having now spoken to so many different people and had this education?
Yeah, I think Corey's more understanding of the world and how diverse it is now and being inclusive of everyone. And that's part of what that education system was, the education session was on both fronts. And so I think in that sense, yes. But also, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion as well. And Corey has one, and we respect that, just like we respect everyone else's. But him going through this education session for sure has shown us that, you know, he understands what he said was hurtful to a lot of people. And going forward, he's educated himself in that space.
I thought what you did last year as a club was magnificent. Like the RSC Arena looked amazing with all the different colours throughout it, making the rainbow flag. Like it was a big occasion then. Do you think this is another opportunity for you to show what this means for the club?
Yeah, last year was amazing. Totally agree. And again, Friday evening at RAC Arena, you'll see similar game night activations. Rainbow Arena again, coloured seating. We've got a merchandise range that launched this week. You know, we're club legend, two-time championship player Trevor Torrence is going to be involved once again, and as he bravely shared his story last year, which was pretty touching to a lot of people. The Perth Spectres Basketball Club is attending the match, and they'll be featured on the big screen. And, you know, as an organization, we understand the importance of Pride Round. And, you know, we have always aimed to create a safe, inclusive space for fans and members in the Wildcats community without them having any fear of discrimination. So for us, it's a very important night for the club. And, you know, we pride ourselves at the Wildcats and with SEN that we're a very open, inclusive, diverse employer and an organization. And then that's what we'll show on Friday night.
True. You've spoken very well on that there. So let's go on to basketball. There's going to be some other people in the stands on the week. And you've got a couple of GMs. Is it two that are coming in from the NBA for this week?
There's been multiple GMs through. There'll be more. I don't have it in front of me right now. But, yeah, there's definitely been quite a few over the last few weeks. And that'll continue to happen as we get towards the end of the season. And then, obviously, you know, into finals. So it's been exciting for the club. You know, this is part of having being part of the NextStar program and having a talent like Alex around and other talented players in our program like a Ben Henschel that, you know, NBA teams have interest and they want to come down and see these guys live and get to watch them in practice in games and talk to people about them.
So you know all these guys from your time in the NBA, but when they're constantly filtering in and out from a club perspective, I look at players and think they must be looking over going, oh, there's so-and-so, or he's from that club. This is an amazing opportunity for everyone. Like, it's put the club on a massive stage. How beneficial has this year been in terms of building the reputation worldwide for your group?
Yeah, I think it started, obviously, with us attracting Alex down to the club and then him arriving, and then it kind of fed into our trip to Las Vegas to play the G League Ignite. And that, I think, really put, obviously, Alex and some of the players on our team on the map in terms of NBA, but also the club. I mean, you look around, whether it's social media, whether it's all these mock drafts, like at the top of every draft now, or close to the top, is Alex Saar in a Wildcats jersey with mate sponsorship and Holman. And, you know, that's massive for the club. And that's massive for our corporate partners that they're getting global exposure through us having a player of Alex's caliber, but also, you know, us playing over in Las Vegas against the G League Ignite. And yeah, it's fantastic for the club, for the league, and puts us definitely on that global scale that people recognize the Perth Wildcats brand.
So when you were in discussions to get him here, was number one in your head, or has that become thrust into your head as you've watched him live every single week?
It's really hard projecting that far ahead when we agreed to terms with Alex. We knew he was going to be a really talented player and likely a high draft pick. But to be in conversation of number one back then, probably, yeah, I don't think anyone had really thought that far. It's more of a range. But now as the draft gets closer and his resume starts to build and is built over the season, mock draft experts and teams start to put guys in different, ranges and tiers. And obviously Alex is in that top one, which is super exciting.
My heart skipped a beat when he went down against Adelaide. I imagine yours would have jumped out of your body and hit the roof.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Had that slip against Adelaide and since then is recovering really well. And, you know, taking it day to day. We've got an excellent medical staff here in Perth and I know him. Obviously, his parents that are here in town and his representatives are all on the same page with where he's at recovery-wise, and we're excited to see him back on the court when he gets back.
So I was surprised. I thought he looked really good in his movement, not with the group, but off to the side last week. How's he tracking for the potential to play this weekend?
Yeah, he's hitting all the benchmarks that we need him to see. It's still basically a day-to-day proposition with Alex, I would say. And, you know, I think there's two ways you look at it. Obviously, we need to take care of Alex as an individual first. That's first and foremost, that he needs to be back and comfortable and ready to play. And that's the first and foremost. And then two, obviously, as we integrate him into the team and get him back into practices and then live games. So however long that takes, You know, he's been a big part of our group so far, and has been really impactful. And so for us, you know, we're giving him as much time as he needs, and as much time as we need to get him back into the group. But we're excited that he's definitely trending in the right direction.
And what about Christian Doolittle after that head clash with Mitch Creek the other night? How's he moving? Is he officially concussed, or is he a chance to play?
Yeah. So yeah, Christian's currently in concussion protocol, return to play protocols, recovering really well and completing. There's a step by step program which is assessed on a case by case basis. And so for Christian, he's got to hit benchmarks every day, and then he'll be assessed by our team doctor, and then you know, there'll be an update come from Thursday on his availability for the weekend.
Is there a timeline that actually exists within the NBL? So some sports, AFL as an example, is 12 days minimum. Cricket, if you get hit in the head, they automatically assess you on the field straight away, and then you can be ruled out and replaced in games. Like, what's the ruling around what you have to, how long you have to be out for, if there's a minimum, or is it just you can do whatever you want and just see how they're feeling?
No, there's guidelines by the NBL, and obviously we have medical professionals within our club that follow their own guidelines as well, that are, you know, very, I guess, aligned with typical concussion protocols. I wouldn't say, you know, there's, to put a timeline on it, I would probably be speaking out of terms, but I know there's certain benchmarks he's got to hit. And as long as he hits them and recovers well the next day and then is assessed and passed by a medical professional, being our team doctor, then he'll be cleared. So there's no specific timeline on it. It's case by case basis. Some guys recover quicker, some take longer, and obviously we'll be really cautious with Christian. But yeah, what I can say today is he's hitting those benchmarks and is doing a very doing a great job of, you know, doing everything that's asked of him, and you know, we'll have an update on Thursday before Friday's game.
So it took a long time to get him off the court. Watching it on replay today, the thing that struck me was the lack of technology available to basketball teams compared to some other sports in-game to be able to go and watch the replays and all that sort of stuff. Is there enough available to you to be able to make an educated call from the bench amongst the helter-skelter of the game?
Yeah, and this is something, you know, we already have and we'll continue to review with our in-game concussion protocols and trying to work with the league on improving those, because as you mentioned, there's other leagues, I think especially the real physical sports, AFL, NRL, NFL, these sports are a lot more advanced in probably the concussion, in-game concussion protocols. And that's something we'll continue to assess ourselves and how we can improve in those areas.
Yeah, so for people listening, the AFL have doctors who have their own TV monitor, which they can call up any replay they want to be able to see the head clash over and over from different angles, and that certainly wasn't available for you guys to assess, and you were looking over trying to work out what Christian wanted to do, come on or off, which I imagine wouldn't have been easy at all. He has been superb. Like, he's been fantastic this year. I look back to when you recruited him, and it was out of the blue, really. He suddenly became available, and bang, you went and grabbed him. How much time do you spend, how much are you watching of vision around the world to be able to go, if someone breaks their leg tomorrow or today or a week ago, you know exactly your target? What's your daily regime like to be prepared for something like that?
Yeah, like, we have ready lists of every position. So, like, as you said, if a player has a major injury and is out for a long period of time or a season, then we have lists ready to go of positional players that could be or should be available that then we can reach out to. And obviously, as you go through a season and as you go through a whole year, a calendar year, you're gathering information on those players from different sources. But then players come on the market as well at all different times. Obviously, there's a lot of leagues going on around the world. And as you're talking to agents, we have a consultant group that works for us over in Europe and the G League that monitor players. And so when opportunities become available or opportunities present themselves, that you can go and get a guy. And obviously, the timing that worked out with Christian at the beginning of the season for us, that he'd been released from his team in France, just worked out great. And as you said, he's integrated himself fantastically into our group and has been really impactful.
So you've got one eye on the future, one eye on the present at all times. You've got an academy, as I said, you're looking at people overseas. You're constantly living this life of what's happening right now versus what might happen into the future. How's the balance of that for you? Is it 50-50, 80-20, 90-10? Like, what's your daily regime look like?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's exactly right. You've got to keep your eye on what's happening right now. Like, you have to be reactive within the season and proactive, I guess it's probably a better word, so you can react when something happens like that. And then obviously you're scouting – for the next season and the season after. So whether it's young prospects that are at number 20 nationals or at the Centre of Excellence in Canberra, or you're gathering information about the next group of potential import players that you might have access to going into next season. So there's a lot of parts to it. And obviously when free agency comes, you want to be as prepared as possible. But it is a balancing act of spending as much time on what you can control now in season. And then obviously when out of season, off season comes, and you're prepared to go and sign players that you've got enough information on.
So is this group that you've got now playing the way and the style and everything else, is it what you thought it would look like when you put it together? Or mid-season do you look and go, this is actually different to what I thought it would be, but geez, it's going well?
Yeah, I think honestly, when we went into the off-season last year and John and I had our vision of what we wanted this group to look like and be able to put our hands on the roster and actually mold it as the way we wanted it, like the way the team's playing is definitely a lot more conducive to how we wanted it to look like. Obviously, there's always surprises during the season, guys that are playing better than you thought, guys that might not be playing the role that you thought. And so that always happens. But to be able to see where the team's got from the beginning of the season to now is really exciting. And I think you see an unbelievable chemistry and there's a really tight bond between this group. And I think that's been really noticeable probably the last couple of months, and especially over that Christmas trip into the last few games. So it's been really awesome to see this team come together. They're a great group of guys. The staff's been fantastic. And, we're only 2/3 of the way there, but we got to keep this thing rolling in the right direction. But all signs right now are really positive.
Could you ever imagine that Hyrum Harris would be playing and the impact that he's having with this group? When you signed him, we were all excited about Bryce and Alex Saar and your imports and Keanu Pinder, and Hyrum Harris is coming in going, hang on, don't forget me.
Yeah, like Hyrum was a guy, as I think I've mentioned before, we talked about it like the year before we tried to sign him out of Adelaide. We got him this year. Has always just been intriguing in the way he plays. He's he's just a versatile Swiss Army knife. Doesn't do anything elite, but does a lot of things well. And especially defensively, and just the way he can connect with other higher usage players on the floor, I think that's what's really allowed him to thrive in that starting unit. And so when that change was made and the way that John and his staff have kind of put him into different lineups, but especially that starting lineup, I think has really blended well with those other guys. And one, he's a really impactful player, but two, he's a fantastic person. And that's been awesome to see that everything that's asked of him on and off the court, he does it with a smile on his face, and he's got a really bright future ahead of him, and will definitely be a part of those New Zealand Tall Black teams as he was this year in the World Cup, and going forward he'll be a big part of that. So for him to be this kind of, you know, fringe NBL player for a few years and now really find his feet in the league with us is exciting.
Bryce has found his feet in the league. I think he's okay. He's an all right player, Bryce Cotton. You've recruited someone quite well there. To tell me the form he's in, like, you must shake your head in amazement still at times, even though you've seen him do so many things for so long.
I mean, Bryce is just unbelievable. Clearly MVP form this season. Just the consistency, the day-to-day, and a lot of people don't see the practices, but the consistent work habits that he puts in day-to-day and then game-to-game is what sets him apart. Special talent and someone we're blessed to have here for sure. And, you know, I think the biggest part of having a Bryce is the gravity and the spacing he creates just by being on the floor. Whether he's got the ball or he doesn't, teams are so focused on him, it just opens up a lot of other avenues for other players. And so I think that's why guys, one, love playing with him when they get here. But two, yeah, the consistency and just the downhill and the scoring pressure he puts on teams from the opening tip to the end of the game is pretty unique. We're really fortunate.
It felt like for a small portion of 2023 that the window might have been still open for the citizenship stuff to actually have a win when he was challenging some things in court, and then he withdrew that appeal and then expressed his frustration to me about the AOC, and he well and truly expressed his frustration about Basketball Australia as well. Is it fair to say that any chance of getting this done before those 4 years are up is well and truly over now?
Yeah, it's been such a disappointing, draining process, to be honest. It is what it is. We put in as much resources and, we tried to do so many things to make this happen because, one, he deserves it. And two, would love to see him in Australian Boomers colours. I think he'd be a fantastic representative and be a huge contributor for the Australian Boomers, whether it's in a qualifying game or at the Olympics. Like, but yeah, unfortunately, it's at the moment, it is where it's at. And yeah, we've it kind of is what it is.
Really nice if the government were prepared to actually come out and talk about this as well. I think the public would have a much better appreciation, understanding about what's going on, but they continually say, no, we're not going to talk about it, et cetera, which is frustrating for us all, I think. Take us inside your relationship with John Riley. You signed him as a coach. You've been through the hard times with him when things weren't going well, both last year and earlier this year. His ability to just withstand the pressure and go, nah, I'm going my way. I believe in this. And it's worked for him both years so far. Like, what is it about him as a bloke and as a coach that's allowed him to do this?
Yeah, he's got a lot of resilience, John, and you know, a lot of it's I think was obviously built through his younger days, and then obviously his playing career. And that's, you know, I don't think he ever got anything given to him. He had everything he got. He had an amazing career as a player, and then as you look back through his coaching resume, which is a lot of the attractiveness to bringing him here, was like he started from the bottom as a director of basketball ops at Boise State and built his career through college basketball, went to the Boomers as an assistant, won a bronze medal. And then, you know, as we brought him here to Perth, obviously as a first-time head coach, there's always learnings and growings, but his ability to stay the course, as you mentioned, like he's very resilient. He knows what he wants. He knows the style he wants to play. He's a great players coach. I think a lot of the players talk about that. He's really good at giving guys feedback, you know, just constant feedback, whether it's positive, whether it's trying to pump them up. But his ability to connect with the players and this group, especially this year, I think they've really bought into his style. And then obviously our staff as well. We've got two new assistants in Jared Martin. Obviously he's brought a real, I guess, player development type mentality to the group, which I think the guys really, really like. And then Aaron Young, who's come from New Zealand, has been a part of the Tall Blacks, and Aaron's been a head coach in New Zealand for a while. And you add that to Keegan Crawford and, you know, our other support staff here. It's been a really good mix of having some stability, but also bringing in some new ideas. And I think it's all started to click pretty fluidly.
Certainly has clicked. Like, form's one thing when you have a little bubble of form in a couple of weeks, but this has been going on for a long time. Now it feels real. Like, does it feel real to you that you're a genuine contender?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we felt like this from day dot. Once we got the team into Perth and we went over to Las Vegas, we felt like the team we had could contend in this league for sure. And no doubt, what we've shown, we can contend with every team in the league. But it's a tough league. You just look at the ladder and it's so crowded. And we've been able to get a little bit of separation. But for us now, it's about rewarding all of the hard work and dedication and the results they got on the road and trying to make this run. These last eight games are so crucially important to place yourself as high as you can and position yourself for an exciting playoff run.
So the ladder's actually insane when you look at it. You won 16 games in 21-22 and finished fifth. 15 games last year, finished sixth on percentage, so 15 would have got a team into fifth. You currently won 13 wins, 13-7. What do you reckon it makes... What do you reckon teams need to make the six this year, and then on top of that, to make that top two to make sure that they're locked into finals?
It's hard to say because everyone's beating everyone, right? You've got three teams at 11-11 right now. I thought earlier it was 500, so 14-14, we get in the six. It might be 13-15 now if these teams are playing each other. I don't have the exact amount of times they play each other going forward, but it could be a 13-15 team that creeps in. So percentage will play into that, I imagine. There'll be some teams that might be locked on wins and losses. To make the top two, unsure. For us, it's about taking, honestly, every practice, every game, every possession, one at a time, and just continuing to build this momentum. Because you obviously want to be playing good basketball in the regular season, but you don't want to be peaking. You want to be peaking at the right end of the season, which for us, hopefully, is going into March, into some playoff series. So, yeah, extremely tight. It's going to be an amazing finish to the season, and then assuredly, it'll be an amazing final series as well, whoever's in it.
Well, top two, you're in there at the moment. It's your spot to give up. If you keep winning, then you stay there, that's for sure. And I don't reckon you'd fear Melbourne after the way you played against them this year either. So, in fact, I don't reckon you'd fear anyone, which must be a really good position to be in right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the confidence we have in this team and the confidence they have in themselves, as they should. We've competed against every team really well and obviously you have these season series and against each team and you play them three times and Adelaide four times. But yeah, I think we match up well. We can play multiple styles of basketball, and you know, I think we've shown that we can win close games, close out games. You know, we've had some games where we've been able to maintain a lead. I think Saturday night was one of the better ones where we got out to a good start and was able to maintain separation and close out a game in good with a good lead. And then there's been other games where it's come down to the wire and we've won them, which is huge. Like those games, as close as they might be, a win's a win in this league. And if you can grind out wins against top teams like that, then it just gives you one confidence to continue, you know, it gives you confidence that you can compete at that level. And the next time it gets into a close situation like that, you've got confidence that you can come out on top.
Well, good luck. Hopefully it continues to keep rolling for you because you've had a fantastic season so far. And as a group, you deserve to keep pushing forward and hopefully having a real crack at this later on in the season once March comes around. So thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time as always.
No worries. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
So when is a three-pointer not a three-pointer? The answer to that question is when you are Meal a Good Child.
Good child. That was deep.
Well, there was high drama in the WNBL over the weekend. Perth Lynx were denied 1 point during the third quarter when Meal a Good Child's three-pointer from the car park was only given as 2 points. The referee put the three fingers up. The scoreboard initially said it was worth three, and then about 30 seconds later or so, the scoreboard changed and made it a two-pointer for what appeared to be no apparent reason. Perth lost the game 87-84, but if you recall, they were 1 point down with 9 seconds left and Emily Potter missed a free throw. With the correct scores, the game would have actually been even. Perth then fouled repeatedly to send the Flames to the free throw line. There is no doubt the match would have been played vastly differently on the court if the scores were correct. I can tell you now that Perth Lynx contacted the WNBL on Monday and asking for an investigation into what had happened. The head of the WNBL, Christy Collier, has since checked with the scoring and technical officials, and she told me the following. I quote, "There was definitely a point missed to the Perth Lynx at that three-point shot from Mila Goodchild. There was a personnel mistake and a miscommunication amongst the officials performing the score bench roles. The scorer had her head down at the time and was informed by a colleague that it was a three-pointer, but then received feedback from another colleague that it was a two-pointer." That's the end of that quote. So the game continued and nobody apparently picked it up during the game. This match was at Qdos Bank Arena. So if you've been there, it's a different venue to most of the WNBL games. It was a doubleheader with the Flames and the Sydney Kings, which meant you're looking at a vastly different type of scoreboard. It's a bigger arena. Not everyone's used to being in that sort of environment. And that led to nobody noticing from the angles they had to see the scoreboard. Suddenly the game discontinues and you don't notice a point missing later on down the track. Other things which were said by Chrissy to me today, quote, "The score sheet has been signed. The referees have signed the score sheet. It is confirmed and we are unable to change the game score because of that. Our current rules state that we have to go off the signed score sheet. The score is confirmed by the referees at the time. Despite us going back and saying it is clearly a three-pointer, we are unable to adjust that score sheet." So that's the end of that quote. Clearly there's a problem that needs to be fixed here by the league. There was problems with the way a grand final series finished a couple of years back when there was debate over whether or not a replay should have been used to determine whether a final shot counted or not and it wasn't available. So we need to make sure that the result of games is correct because clearly this is a terrible situation where the Lynx have lost a game by three, thought the game should have been closer based on what the scoreboard should have been. They would have played it differently, might not have won the match, but we can't be having clear three-pointers not being counted like that when Mila Goodchild was about a metre outside the three-point line. I have spoken to the Lynx who did not feel comfortable as of 3:35 p.m. on Tuesday discussing it publicly. Hopefully by later on today we'll have something from a newspaper or from the west.com.au perspective, but right now they're not comfortable about coming onto the podcast to talk about it, but it's fair to say they're not happy and we'll be looking to push harder for something like this to not ever happen again. So that's it for this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. Thank you to Danny Mills from his time for the Wildcats. Thanks to Josh Cable for his production work. You can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian and at thewest.com.au. You can watch all of these interviews on YouTube at The West Sport. Thank you very much for all of your time. We'll speak to you next week on the Dribble Podcast.